Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing today? You are listening to the Rehab Sports Guys. Thank you. Now that we've got the paid part of the podcast out of the way, let's get into the meat of this podcast. I will be doing it in two parts. The first part will be going over the NCAA tournament. Had some huge, huge games. The Duke UFC game, UCF game was awesome. Wire to wire, great basketball game. There was other huge games. I'm going to kind of recap the round of 34 that happened on Saturday and Sunday. And then I will get into the Sweet 16 matchups. But I will start off with the biggest game of the weekend, and that would be Duke and Zion Williamson taking on Falls of UCF. And the coach of UCF is former player and assistant of Duke, and he has a number retired, and that is Coach Dawkins. He had his UCF Knights ready to play. They were not scared of the moment. His son played 40 minutes, had 32 points, made 5 threes. At one point in the first half, he wasn't missing anything. He could have put a melon in a golf hole. Like, it was ridiculous at times. Zion led Duke in all categories, points, rebounds, and assists. He had 32 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists. He didn't come out of the game. Him, Trey Jones, and Barrett played all 40 minutes. Dawkins and Taylor for UCF played all 40 minutes. Falls only played 25, but he still had 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 blocks, but fouled out late in that game. That was a big key to the game. The officiating, just like in all college basketball, is atrocious, but I think it wasn't one-sided. Yes, there was a missed call on Duke in late in that game, but I think it was a very balanced game. UCF had more free throws. Duke had more fouls called against them, so I think it was very balanced. It was just an all-around great game. UCF had a chance at the very end to make a layup, just didn't get it done. Dawkins ended up with 32 points. If he had 34 points on that last layup, Duke is going home and everybody's brackets busted. But that didn't happen. It was a awesome game. Duke led 44-36 at halftime. Kind of went on a run there late. But then UCF opened the second half on a 10-0 run, and it was a 2-5 point game from there on out. But this shows that, like I've said multiple times leading up to this, Duke is very susceptible to getting beaten. They shot the three at a much higher percentage than they have all season. Without senior leadership, I just worry about them getting in bad situations and not knowing what to do and not being able to bounce out of it. But you do have two top five picks in Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett. But that being said, they're not very deep at the center position. So if you get in foul trouble, that could cause problems. And if Zion's in serious foul trouble early in the game, think that causes problems, and they'll be going up against a team that actually beat them. Granted, it was without Zion, but they still beat them. Virginia Tech was actually trailing in their game against Liberty 32-29 at half. They ended up blowing them out in the second half 38-26. Blackshear and Outlaw combined for 29 points, 20 rebounds. If Duke wants to beat Virginia Tech, they've got to keep Blackshear kind of under wraps. Can't let him get to the boards. Can't let him get extra possessions. Can't let him get off scoring. Outlaw is a tremendous rebounder from the guard position. Voltech is just a good defensive team. Like, they had 10 steals against Liberty. They're going to get after you. They're not going to be scared of Duke. They beat Duke 77-72 earlier this season. So they're not going to be scared of the moment. I really like that game, but I have Duke getting to the Elite Eight. So no matter what, I think this will be a close game. I think Duke wins. It'll be like 5 to 8 points. I got Duke in that game. And we're going to go on down in the same bracket. Michigan State ran off and beat Minnesota. Minnesota had cut the lead to 40-31 in the second half, but then Michigan went on a 23-9 run, kind of put it away. They out-rebounded Minnesota 45-19, and that basically tells you the story you need to know. They were getting after it on the boards. Michigan State is a very well-coached team. They're not going to make many mistakes. I love Coach Izzo. And while I'm on the subject of Coach Izzo, can we stop being so soft? Like, if the player really thought it was that big of a deal, I really think he would have called him out. But I think the player knew that he was messing up. But and it's because of the restraining of Izzo. I think Izzo was tired of the lackluster performance the player was giving, and so he thought he could challenge the player. And some players respond, and he responded later in that game, got some big, big, big-time buckets to help them in their first-round game. Michigan State, I think, is a Final Four team, and they were going to have to play against probably one of the better teams in the country in LSU. And LSU survived by a Tremont Waters game-winning bucket that is controversial to some to beat Maryland. I think that game was a really good game. I think it was probably top two games of the tournament thus far. But they couldn't overcome the fact that they missed 7 free throws. If you make half those, you win the basketball game. It comes down to turnovers and free throw shooting in the NCAA tournament and making baskets. And Waters, Mays, and Reed flat out can score. They ended up combining for 41 points. I think Michigan State is going to pick one of those and take them out of the basketball game. I don't know which one that might be. So Waters and Reed or May, somebody's going to have to step up and have a big game because not all three of them are going to be able to score 12 to 18 points. I think somebody's going to have to get in the 25-point range. So that's why I like Michigan State in this game. They're going to get after it defensively, and sometimes that causes LSU problems. At home, they were down by 20 in the second half to Arkansas, who was an NIT team, barely. So they have tendency against defensive teams to struggle. And so we will see who comes out. I like Michigan State going on to face Duke for a chance to go to the Final Four. That'll be a great basketball game. I'm going to take a quick break, and we will be right back and continue on with this bracket breakdown. And welcome back to the Rehab Sports Guys. This is Ian. I just got done covering the East bracket. We'll be moving on to the West bracket, and the number one seed in that West bracket is 32-3 Gonzaga. They are coming off a win against Baylor. The game never really was close. I think the closest it got in the second half was 10 points. They were up 18 at one point. They shot a really high percentage. They shot 54% from the field. They average about that for the regular season. They're a good team. They pass the ball really well. They average over 18 assists a game. And they shoot the basketball at a 53% from the field. So they're just a very sound team. I like Gonzaga going forward, but they have a tough matchup against Florida State, who is not going to be scared of the moment. They're coming off a huge win. They were up 50-34 at halftime. They made 50% of their shots. They shot the ball 71 times. They had a big game from Cabangeli. Had 22 off the bench. And I just don't think Florida State's going to be scared. Because they beat Virginia in the ACC tournament. They played with Duke. They beat Duke. They've also lost to Duke. So I think they're going to come to play. But the fact that Gonzaga can score 80 and 90 points a game, but Florida State showed that against Murray State that they can put up 90 points. So I think Gonzaga is going to get this game, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than Gonzaga's last game. But I like Gonzaga going to the Elite Eight. And they will be facing either the 3 seed in Texas Tech, who I like Texas Tech a lot. They're coming off a huge win where they got a double-double from both Culver and Odiasi. They combined for 30 points and 25 assists. I really like Culver. He's going to be a lottery pick. He reminds me a lot of Jimmy Butler. Texas Tech got in trouble in that second half. They trailed by one at one point, but then went on a 45-17 run to kind of put it away. It looked like a runaway game, but it really was not. Texas Tech is a very well-matched game with the 2 seed, which is Michigan in the West bracket, or West region. Michigan is coming off a huge win against number 10 Florida. There was at times where I just felt like they were toying with Florida. They'll slow the pace down. They'll make smart passes. They get quality shots, quality looks. They may not always make them, but they get quality looks, and that's why I like Michigan. But in this game, Texas Tech is going to speed you up a little bit. Michigan is wanting to slow it down. They only give up 52 points per game. They only shoot it at 45%, but Texas Tech only shoots it at 47%. They both are very high assist teams, so they love to pass the basketball. I really am looking forward to this matchup. I think Culver on the defensive end might make the difference. So I like Texas Tech getting to the Elite Eight. So that means I have Gonzaga versus Texas Tech for a chance to go to the Final Four. And my pick to go to the Final Four will be Texas Tech and Coach Chris Beard and Culver and Odiasi all getting to the Final Four. I really, really like this team. I've liked them all year. They were killing the Big 12 all year. I like Texas Tech. And that concludes the West bracket. I'm going to take a short break and I'll come right back. Welcome back to Rehab Sports, guys. This is Ian, and this is my college basketball March Madness tournament show where I'm getting into the Sweet 16 matchups. We just got done with the West, so we're moving on to the South region where the number one seed is Virginia. And they had a huge game against... I don't even remember who they played. Hold on, let me pull it up. I just went brain dead. Virginia beat Oklahoma. There we go. Because Trey Young had to wear a Virginia jersey because his Oklahoma Sooners lost to Virginia. So back to it. Virginia is a very good defensive team. They only give up like 55 a game. They only gave up 51 to Oklahoma. The game was never really close. Virginia led by 13 to 15 points most of the second half. So Virginia is in the Sweet 16. We were kind of nervous against Gardner Webb. They kind of got me nervous with my bracket, but they need to have a big game on the block because the team they will be facing has a 20-point score in Bol Bol, and he shoots it at 56%, averages 21 a game, averages 9.6 rebounds. So he's basically averaging 20 and 10 every time out. So Virginia is going to have their hands full, but DeAndre Hunter can completely light it up. He's averaging 15 points a game and 5 rebounds, but shooting at 52%. As a guard, that is insane, shooting at 52%. In his last game, or this season, let me tell you this season. In 31 minutes per game, he's shooting at 53%, and at a 45% clip from 3. That is insane to me. So I really am looking forward to that. And so I talked about Oregon a little bit. They're the 12 seed. They played UC Irvine, the 13 seed. The only matchup that didn't involve 4 and 5 seeds, really, in the 4-5 matchup, where it was 12 versus 13. They trailed in the second half at one point, but went on to outscore UC Irvine by 20 points. They were 13 for 25 from 3, had 7 steals. So I think their recipe is inside out. Start with Bol Bol, get him the basketball early in that game, and pass it out, and hopefully spread Virginia's great defense out to the 3-point line and give him some room to operate down there. But unless Oregon can get super hot again from 3, I like Virginia going to the Elite Eight. But I would not be shocked if Oregon pulls the upset and keeps the quote or the proverbial Cinderella run going, even though they're really not a Cinderella, but they are a 12 seed. Going on into the other Sweet 16 matchup in the South region, number 3 Purdue is coming off the complete demolition of the former champion Villanova Wildcats. Purdue shot 16 for 30 from 3. They were up 19 at halftime. They got 42 points from Edwards. Edwards shot 9 for 16 from 3. Edwards balled. I really want to see what he can do against Grant Williams and Schofield in this basketball game. It's a very evenly matched game. ESPN has it as a 50-50 game as far as their metrics. Purdue can score at 76 points per game. They only give up 55 points per game. They're definitely a team. They give up 15. They pass the ball really well as a team. 15 assists per game. That's pretty high. Carson Edwards is averaging 24 points a game. And so, I like Purdue. They kind of had a bad year, but I think they're going to be ready for this matchup with Tennessee. And going over the Tennessee side of it, they were up 21 at halftime and completely fell apart. Maybe had the worst meltdown in NCAA history. But thank you to Grant Williams, the 2-time SEC Player of the Year, averaging 19 points per game, had 19 points in this game. 6 of them came in over. They were huge points at overtime. He also leads Tennessee in rebounds this season at 7.5. So he's averaging 19 and 8. That's pretty solid numbers, is why he was top player in the SEC. This will be a good game. Tennessee's going to have to lock Edwards down, not let him get good looks from 3. I like Tennessee in this game going to the Elite Eight to face Virginia. Now, that matchup is very intriguing.
Tennessee scores a lot of points. They get up and down. Virginia's going to try and slow them down, but I don't know if they Virginia has anybody that can body Schofield on the block and keep Grant Williams from getting his. So I have Tennessee going to the Final Four to face the winner of the South region. I'm going to take a quick break, and I will come back and finish with the South region. You're listening to the Rehab Sports Guys podcast. Welcome back to the Rehab Sports Guys. I just got done covering the South region, and now I'll be moving on to the last region, the Midwest. And the number one seed in the Midwest is the North Carolina Tar Heels. They're coming off a very easy win against Washington, the 9 seed. They won 81-59. They basically kind of ran and hid in the second half. Cameron Johnson, who is their leading scorer, averaging 17 points per game, only had 13, but he helped out the assist column with 7 assists. Luke May, their other star forward, had 20 points and 14 rebounds. He's been balling since the very first Duke game in middle February, averaging 20 points and 10 rebounds almost every time out. I really think North Carolina is one of the best basketball teams in the country. I think they are one of 3 teams that could win the national championship. And I think they probably are the best team in the tournament left. That being said, the only thing that worries me with the Tar Heels is their lack of consistent 3-point shooting. And that's the one thing that the team they will be playing, the number 5 seeded Auburn Tigers, are very, very good at. Auburn is a very streaky shooting team. But that being said, they're averaging 80 points a game. North Carolina's averaging 86 points per game. Auburn doesn't play very good defense. They're giving up 76 points per game. North Carolina, on the other hand, plays excellent defense at 66 points per game. North Carolina is going to out-rebound you, get out and run, play good team basketball with over 19 team assists. They're like top 10 in the country in that category. So that's an exciting game. But let me backtrack to where Auburn was. Auburn was up on Kansas 51-25 at halftime. They made 50% of their threes, forced 16 Kansas turnovers. That's not very normal from a Bill Self coach Kansas basketball team. Auburn is going to get up in you, play defense, try and speed you up, try and get up and down and shoot threes. When North Carolina is trying to do the same thing, but they're going to pound it inside, get offensive rebounds, get a lot of defensive rebounds, and get out and run. There's a reason that when they played Duke without Zion Williamson, they were 15 points ahead in both games. It's because if you're shorthanded, they'll get out and run you into the ground. I like North Carolina in this game. I think it's going to be a close game, but I like North Carolina getting to the Elite Eight. The other Sweet 16 game is number 3 Houston and number 2 Kentucky. Kentucky had a very tough game against Wofford. Hero might have not had a great scoring game, but he held the number 1 3-point shooter as far as makes in NCAA history to 0 out of 12 from 3-point. Him and help, obviously, but he was the predominant defender. I like Hero very much, but he reminds me a lot of Klay Thompson. Great two-way player, but can completely flat-out score the basketball when needed. That Wofford game was really just Hoover, one of the shooting guards, didn't have any help. He was knocking down threes, but but nobody else was because of the defense from Hero and company. Hopefully Kentucky gets P.J. Washington back. I don't expect him back for this basketball game. Houston didn't have a great three-point shooting game in their last time out against Ohio State, but they still were able to win by 15. So hopefully in this game, Houston can get some better three-point shooting. But they both are about the same in points per game. Their defense, Kentucky plays a lot better defense. I mean, Houston plays decent defense, but lesser competition, obviously, in the American. Both are decent rebounding teams. Houston's the better assist team. That all being said, I think Kentucky has the more talent. But it comes down to making shots. If Hero is making shots and Travis is getting 12 points, 10 rebounds in the paint, I like Kentucky in this game going on to face North Carolina. So in the Elite Eight, that would leave us with number one seeded North Carolina, number two seeded Kentucky. We'll talk about a blue blood knockout round. It'll be a good game, but if Kentucky does not have P.J. Washington, North Carolina runs off and hides in this game. I don't think Kentucky will have the depth. North Carolina will out-rebound them, get up and down, get Travis in foul trouble, and if that happens, you saw it in the Wofford game when he went out of the game, Kentucky faltered a little bit. So I like North Carolina getting to another Final Four under Roy Williams. So now I've got Tennessee, North Carolina, Michigan State, Texas Tech. That's my pick to survive the weekend, but I will have a podcast out next Monday. Let's see how I did. Enjoy all the basketball games. And for David and Jesse, I'm Ian, and you've been listening to the Rehab Sports Guys podcast.